So, listen up, here's a story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. All day and all night, everything he sees is blue, like him. Inside and outside, blue is his house. Blue is his torture instruments that he uses to cut off Lindsay Lohan's leg.
See, Brandon, that's how you intro a podcast episode.
It's a great intro.
Solid.
Welcome to Bad Movie Book Club, the second installment of Bad Movie Book Club of CineNation. It's Thomas Horton here with
Anna Catley.
And Hunter Barcroft, the lead singer of Eiffel. Is it 55? It's Eiffel 55.
Awesome.
Right? 65! Oh, God.
And
I got it wrong.
What we're kicking off our blue topic to talk about the horror film I Know Who Killed Me.
Which is basically all blue for what seemed like an eon, just ages and ages of movie that served
no
purpose.
That movie would
except
not
when Bad Lindsay is stripping and then it's red. It's the hot and cold variety.
Well, see, we get a nice little contrast because there's two Lindsays, and so one is blue, one always wears blue, and one always wears red. So it's planned, it's mm-hmm. thought out,
and in a know? Completely original idea, they end up being twins.
Yeah, because Lindsay's never done that before.
Well, just gave away the.
Oh God!
The whole twist.
I'm trying to save people from having to watch this movie, thinking like, "Oh, I should watch this beforehand." No, false. Don't. And we're gonna. All right,
let's pull it up on IMDb. See who was responsible for this. Julia, how'd they get Julia Armand to sign onto this?
That was my first thought when I saw the credits. Like, Julia Armand, you're so much better than this. I can't believe
she was nominated for a Razzie for this.
You know, she doesn't deserve that.
Everyone attached to this movie should have been nominated for a Razzie.
Lindsay Lohan nominated twice for the same thing in the same category.
Yeah. Directed by Chris Sivertsen, who hasn't really done much else. Except, wait, please tell me this is the same. Oh no, it said IMDb said he had a credit for writing Jack and Jill, and I was really hoping that was the Adam Sandler Jack and Jill, but it's not. Yeah, this is his only major release. I feel like he's done some other indie horror stuff.
You know who else? This is the only film they ever did. The writer, who? Jeff Hammond. And I went on his IMDb, and he only had one credit, and it's just this movie. And then there's comments underneath, and one of them that says, it's titled, Jeff, please tell us this is your last ... The first comment is from this guy named Motorhead, 85021. It says, because I admit it, your skills are a little shaky. And then underneath him, Floppy Disk Man 2 says, that's like saying Ray Charles is a little blind or a little dead. IMDb gold right there. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. The saddest piece of trivia on the I Know Who Killed Me page was Jeff Hammond's first, and then in brackets it says, and last film as a screenplay writer. Saddest and most truthful piece of trivia on that page. Poor Jeff Hammond. He poured his heart into it.
His heart of garbage.
Interesting. This is something that if Brandon was here, he'd bring up, so I felt like I needed to raise it, is that the John Leonetti, who was the director of photography for this, has actually worked on like some decent stuff. He's the go-to DP for the directing team that does the Insidious and Conjuring movies, which I feel like are shot fairly well.
That's true.
He shot The Mask with Jim Carrey.
It's not bad. Terrible sequels, but a valid movie, Jim Carrey movie.
DP on, Dead Silence, that one with the mannequin or the doll.
I never seen it.
Joe Dirt. DP on Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt 1 or Joe Dirt 2?
Joe Dirt 1.
Ooh, not bad.
The Mortal Kombat movie. Hot Shots Part 2.
That was a good movie.
I love Hot Shots Part 2. So good.
It's pretty great. Especially when Charlie Sheen dips his hands. He's going into the fight and he dips his hands in like pudding.
Yeah, and
then
the,
dips them in
and
like
then,
candy.
Like, the feathers and yeah.
Yeah, and then the other guy's got like nails. And, like, bolts, and he's just dipping them in candy like you're getting toppings on an ice cream sundae. It's so great. Oh, that movie.
So
I think this shows us that even if you're a good DP, if you have a bad director, you're just screwed.
It's this whole movie is garbage, Thomas.
Yeah.
There's so many just, like, pointless... It's constantly moving. The camera's constantly moving, and it's sickening. It's like...
I know, it's like all handheld, mostly.
That opening, like, Steadicam shot, like, across their entire front yard and into their house is so useless. Except to establish Hunter's favorite character.
No, the gardener. My favorite character of all time. I'll tell you more about the gardener later. Oh, will I?
Okay, so I feel like we should do a little bit of a plot synopsis for the people listening who didn't get a chance to watch this and maybe don't want to watch it, but we're not going to do as much detail as we did for Roadhouse because this film does not deserve as much detail as Roadhouse.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Roadhouse deserves a lot of time dedicated to plot. This movie is like literal movie garbage, so
no one
doesn't need much.
No one attention. Does Tai Chi. No one has a man bun. No one gets a throat ripped out.
No Sam Elliott pews.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Key no aspect. Sam Elliott in general.
No stuffed polar bears. Like what's
honestly
the point of this movie?
That could have broken up some of the blue. There's none of or that. They could have just like keyed over the white polar bear and made him a blue polar bear, which would not have surprised me in the slightest if they did that.
Killed by symbolism. Would have been great.
God. So, yeah, tell us more about the plot of this movie, Thomas, because honestly, I had a hard time following along.
So, Lindsay Lohan is Aubrey, who's just, you know, she's great. She's a good girl. Parents love her. Everybody likes her. The high school football quarterback, I think he was quarterback. They play him like a quarterback. I don't know. He's in love with her, but she's like kind of like, oh, I don't know, maybe kind of flirty with him. But people, girls in the town have been going missing and coming back with their hands and one leg chopped off. That's the killer's MO. And then she goes missing and they find her. Body and her hands and her leg have been chopped off, but she's still alive. So they bring her back to life, but she says her name's now she's saying her name's not Aubrey, it's Dakota, and that she's the stripping daughter of a crack addict.
Oh yeah, but you have to say earlier in like the beginning scenes of the film, Aubrey is telling the class a short story about Dakota. And how she imagines that she's like a character called Dakota.
Yeah, they have visions
so they
of each other.
Like
this is after the yeah, this is connection. After the opening of the film, which is Dakota, aka Bad Lindsay, stripping.
Let's just call him Red Lindsay and Blue Lindsay.
Red and blue. I mean, it's ultimately just the grossest color combo of all time. But
this is like harkening back to like 2007 with the. In 2007, it was like a glorious year for tabloids. And Lindsay was just like not having it for tabloids, like paparazzi's everywhere, and everyone was calling her fire crotch in the tabloids. So, for the purpose of this, I feel like stripper Lindsay is fire crotch Lindsay.
That's
fire crotch Lindsay.
Can we refer
Aubrey
to her that in the
like,
rest of the show? Fire crotch Lindsay.
I would be okay with it.
And
let's do it.
Okay.
Blue Lindsay.
Blue Lindsay and fire crotch Lindsay.
It appears cool. That Lindsay blew herself on what was meant to be a dry run.
Oh, can that be the title of our episode, the heading?
Lindsay just blew herself?
Lindsay just blew herself, parentheses, on what was supposed to be a dry run, in parentheses.
Now she's got something of a mess on her hands, which we could call this film something of a mess, for sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, this movie, it was around this time when I just decided that I was mentally not going to pay attention to the movie, like, the rest of the time. And I feel like I watched key parts. Like, I watched the Neil McDonough, or whatever his name is, die, which I thought was awesome. I love watching him die and things. And then,
We'll come back to that, because I have a major problem with that scene.
I have a major problem with a lot of this movie. So, yes, when we get there... You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about the blue torture instruments that were actually like salad utensils that you use at like a big salad. There was like no, they would do nothing. They're like blue plastic. It was like a spatula.
Who has what?
Wait, should we finish
the serial killer has blue glass? Okay, yeah, we should. Yeah,
yeah, we should probably finish the synopsis. before we get into
so
torture chamber.
So Firecrotch Lindsay is living in Blue Lindsay's house with her parents, but she's a rebel because she's a stripper, so she smokes and she just like has Crab Man from My Name Is Earl shows up and gives her a fully this is what 2007 this like this girl just gets a fully functional robot hand and leg, like 100% like futuristic Iron Man.
Yeah, it's borderline better than Star Wars Episode 2 and Anakin gets the fake arm. It's better than that.
And then we get this ominous, like, just make sure you plug it in every night or it won't work anymore, which never really comes to fruition. Like, they threaten us with it a couple times. Like, oh, is her leg going to stop working? But then it never.
I feel like that was really a way that they wanted to, like, ground the idea of having a robot arm. Was, like, make sure it, like, has functions. Like, you have to plug it in at night so it, like, runs off electricity, like, normal things. To, like, try to give you a reason why she would have this, like, super awesome arm. Like, try to bring it back down to reality a little bit.
But she goes home, and this guy who is, like, kind of her boyfriend, not really, comes over, and she's obviously, like, she's just been kidnapped and, like, tortured and had limbs cut off and is now, like, mentally delusional. And
also very horny.
And this guy just, like, bangs her immediately. He's just, like, totally down
for it. She seduces him.
Yeah, but... Somebody told him, like, that she's, you know, not, she doesn't even think she's herself right now. She thinks she's a totally different person. Like, I just feel like it's not okay to have, even if she consented, it's just not okay to have sex with a person in that state of mind.
Yeah, I'm just referring to him as Chicago Fire guy the rest of the time. Because he's on Chicago Fire and Chicago PD. And it just immediately saw him, I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Something else that comes to zero fruition, Hunter, is her relationship with your favorite character.
The gardener?
Yeah. Like, what's the point of him?
I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be humorous or if it was supposed to, like, lead us to believe that she's kind of easy. She's kind of a whore. I think that's what it was trying to do.
But that was Aubrey's character. That wasn't Firecrotch Lindsay. That she was making eyes with Aubrey the gardener with. That was Aubrey.
That was... Digging his...
See, that makes it even worse.
See, she's the one who's making eyes with this guy who's, like,
eyes
30 years old.
Making eyes is... He's, like, a mix between Johnny Knoxville and Hagrid. Like, he looks rough. He looks rough. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio from Revenant.
I had a thought that maybe he was the killer. So
I did, too. I kind of thought that, too, and I thought that would be important for later. I was like, oh, this guy's totally the guy. Look at him, terrible grin on his face as he's waxing that piece of wood he picked up off the ground, like polishing the tip of the piece of wood. And I was just like, really? Really? He's like, it's just the grossest thing. He rips his shirt off for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, no.
Okay, so it turns out that Firecrotch Lindsay and Blue Lindsay really are different people. And that Firecrotch Lindsay... Okay, this is where I was paying pretty good attention, and I still totally lost this part. Firecrotch Lindsay just, like, naturally lost her hand and leg? Like, she wasn't abducted by the serial killer. She just ended up on the side of the road missing a hand and leg, which is the exact same thing that the serial killer does.
I mean, maybe Anna could shed some light on this, because I had checked out mentally.
So this is what's going on. So the serial killer actually kidnapped Aubrey. So, like, good Blue Lindsay has been kidnapped, and the killer is, like, using the dry ice on her hand, and her finger, like, shrivels up and dies. And the same thing happens to Firecrotch Lindsay. So it's like she feels the pain of her twin because they were separated at birth. And there's, like, that whole, like, like, home video montage of, like, Firecrotch Lindsay getting hurt at the beach and then Blue Lindsay, like, feeling that pain, even though they're, like, not even in the same spot. So, like, basically, Dakota Lindsay, or Firecrotch Lindsay, loses her leg and her finger and her hand and, like, basically bleeds out on the side of the road because she's, like, literally losing the limbs that Blue Lindsay is losing while she's being tortured. So, like, while everyone's, like... taking care of Firecrotch Lindsay, being like, yay, we found Aubrey, she's fine. Aubrey is still being tortured.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that like weird skinhead on the bus, like
sometimes people get cut. And... yeah.
That's okay.
He's the oddest
all right,
character.
So,
useless.
She confronts she confronts her dad.
Yeah.
And discovers the truth that he bought Aubrey off of a crackhead outside a hospital because his wife had a stillbirth. And so he just bought one of the twins and left the other one to be raised by the crackhead.
God.
Yeah.
See, I missed that part of the whole movie because I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
But this doesn't make me like it anymore or wish I liked it anymore.
See, I Know Who Killed Me perpetuates the stigma that if you're raised in poverty, you're going to turn out to be like a stripper crackhead who sleeps around. And if you're raised by nice rich parents, you'll be like a star pianist and, you know, date the quarterback.
That's a good point.
So
it really
teaching
does.
Us all the good life lessons.
I was just looking at IMDb and I realized that one of my friends from college, one of my friends from college's fathers plays the dad of the girl who was killed before Aubrey in this movie.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's wild.
Fun little connection there.
Let's get him on. Call him up right now.
Call Brian McNamara.
Ask him for his dad.
And So Firecrotch Lindsay goes to the grave of the last girl who was killed by the serial killer and finds a ribbon left for her by the piano teacher that Aubrey also had, and realizes that the serial killer is actually is actually the piano teacher who is abducting talented pianists who are quitting piano and cutting their fingers off to punish them for quitting piano.
He has an awesome heart tattoo with some wings. It's you can't beat it. You just can't beat it. It's so good.
And everything is blue because the winners of the piano competitions get blue ribbons. So he's obsessed with blue.
Mm-hmm.
Anna, would you ever want to be go into piano music? This movie?
I took piano lessons for many years.
Did you? Did you?
Yeah, I did.
When did you quit?
I quit really early on in the game. Like, got past like level 3 piano, then decided it wasn't for me.
You're lucky you didn't end
Fun
up like.
Story.
You're lucky you didn't end up like Lindsay Lohan, Anna.
No, it's because my brother is like a piano prodigy, so I was like, I'm not dealing with that. Yeah, he's way better.
My piano teacher in high school had her finger cut off, so it's like the opposite of this movie.
Was it by a man who first captured her and then tied her down to some kind of weird porcelain table?
No, she was spotting for her son while he was on the bench press, and he dropped the bar on her finger.
Wow!
And took the tip off.
Oh,
but a doctor like sewed it back up, and it totally worked. It was just a little bit shorter, but she can still play piano like a champ.
This is a weird thing I thought about this killer in the movie. He sewed her fingers back on. Was that? I remember them saying something like that. Like he sewed the fingers back on after he cut them off. No, it was in there. It's in there.
No. It was Firecrotch Lindsay tried to sew her own fingers back on. So then they thought that it was a serial killer and that he had like done something abnormal by trying to like fix
it. Put it back. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was actually just her literally right before she's about to strip, like seeing her fingers shrivel up and be like, "No, I have to strip." You know,
I owe
it to my fans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if my finger's falling off. Like, I have to do it. Like, ridiculous.
Never address the fact. Like, they set up this red herring of this ball cap guy that comes every night to watch Dakota strip, and then also has been like stalking Blue Lindsay around town. And then when we figure out that he's just a red herring, like, we never come back to him. Like, there's still a guy out there that's stalking this pair of twins. Maybe they were setting up for a sequel when that guy, I Know Who Killed Me Again, the stalker guy.
That's actually...
Also, why, okay, is he cutting off their legs because that's what you use to, like...
Hit the pedal.
Yeah, the pedal on the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, obsessed with mannequin legs. Like, he has, his entire basement is just filled with mannequin legs.
Oh. You know what? This is, like, a darker version of Whiplash. It really is. That's going to be my plug at the end. Man. My palate cleanser. That's dibs on Whiplash, guys. I'll tell you why later. But
here's my big thing. They go... Okay, so she gets her twin sister's adopted father to go with her to find the serial killer. They don't call the police, even though they, like, she's certain through her twin telepathy that this is where the serial killer is. They don't call the police. They get there. Dad says, wait in the car. I'm going in. He goes inside. Less than 2 minutes after he goes inside, Firecrotch Lindsay decides she's going to check things out for herself. She walks around the house, down into the basement, and the dad is dead on a slab, wrapped in plastic. How did that guy move that fast? Killed him, took him down to the basement, wrapped him in plastic. It's impossible.
He's obviously Dexter. That's the only logical.
He has superhuman speed.
Oh man, this movie's ridiculous. There's not even words for some of this. Like, it's just inexcusable, terrible storytelling, and it's all, like, in one big. There's many shades of blue, but they're all bad in the end.
So poignant. Firecrotch Lindsay goes and saves Blue Lindsay, digs her up from her shallow grave, and then as they're both. Well, as Blue Lindsay is, like, bleeding out from all of her wounds, they just, like, take a nap together, as opposed to, you know, calling 911. She, like, climbs into the grave with her, and like, they spoon.
Who's Big grave Spoon? Who's Little Spoon? I don't think I made it that far. Grave and Firecrotch. Chill? Grave and Chill?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
Firecrotch Lindsay is Big Spoon.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
So let's
yeah. There's like nothing of merit in this film.
No, there's nothing like
that's usually I can find something like good and be like, yeah, you know that actually what cinematography was good or like sound was good. And I'm just like, there's nothing.
I'll give you something. I'll give you something that's not terrible. In a campy Sarah Michelle Gellar horror movie kind of way, Lindsay Lohan's performance not the worst in the world. Out of all her performances, it's not the worst. It's not the best. But it's not Herbie Fully Loaded.
I feel like Dakota is closest to Lindsay's real lifestyle of like any character she's played, and she didn't convince me. I never felt like Dakota was like a hardened badass street kid.
Yeah, but I also felt like this whole movie was just like when Lindsay Lohan tried to do method acting and then realized she couldn't get out of the role. This was that moment for her, and she's just been living out that terrible decision ever since.
That's the only way. According to IMDb, going in and out of rehab while she was filming this. Kept delaying filming for rehab, so that you might not be totally off the mark there, Hunter.
I think I might be onto something. I'm going to do some investigating.
When Zac Efron did Neighbors and got a coke addiction.
And then they're doing a sequel right now.
So let's take it back to the color palette one more time, because I really want to just have some final words on this damn
blue
color palette, and also these transitions, because there's a transition between every scene, and there's a reason that we don't really use transitions anymore in the industry, because it's awful.
Just like this whole movie. Okay, so we're going to talk about the color palette. There's really not much to talk about other than blue. I think, let's all talk about what our least favorite blue object was. Anna, you go first.
Okay.
Me first? Okay.
And why?
When why? Okay. Well, the one that made me the most frustrated would probably be the blue gloves that the serial killer or the killer wears, because in the first instance that we ever see him with his blue gloves, the next shot immediately after the torture scene, all of the police officers at the scene of the crime are wearing those exact same gloves. And it's super misleading. It's just like the red herring of the baseball hat guy. And it's just like trying to, a very confusing kind of correlation that doesn't even exist. It's has no there's no connection between the two, but for some reason they made the choice to have the same gloves for the officers and for the serial killer, which is misleading as hell. So
that is, that's a prop
that
thing
is my
too.
Most ugh. Frustrating one, and also just the blue rose, because that was just stupid,
right? Oh
yeah.
It's nasty.
So that's me. Yeah,
Thomas, someone else go. What do you think?
Mine has to be the super fake looking blue liquids.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's supposed to be antibiotics or something, but when, or alcohol, I think there's one part when it's supposed to be alcohol, when Firecrotch Lindsay's fingers are falling off, she's like, she's pouring this neon blue substance onto her hand, and then she takes a swig out of it. So obviously, you know, it's that, the badass movie cliche of like cleaning my wounds with alcohol, and I gotta drink a little bit too. And then the serial killer has the same kind of just neon blue chemicals in his workshop, and it's nothing comes in that color except Kool-Aid. There's absolutely no other drink I've ever in that liqueur called Hypnotic or whatever.
I was just gonna say Hypnotic. Yeah. Like in that scene,
there's
where
nothing
she's
else
like
I've ever seen in that color.
In the scene where she's like pouring it on her like finger stumps, I was imagining that it was sourpuss or something. And she's like pouring sourpuss on her stumps, and then she's just swigging the sourpuss and like pouring some more like alcoholic sugar on
and
her
so,
fingers.
I mean, if they're setting up that the whole idea of the blue is really that the killer is obsessed with blue because he wants his victims to win the blue ribbons, why does it matter that the other version of Lindsay has neon blue liquor when she's nowhere around the killer or anything? It's just, it's so pointless, and no. The director has such a hard on for just blue things. It's ridiculous.
It's that, and I think my least favorite of all of the blue in this probably gonna be his murder instruments, like the stuff he uses to kill people. Okay, so
you mean the dragon glass from?
Yes, it looks like dragon glass. Oh. I was just like, is she a White Walker? What are you doing? Like, and he has like, if you go back and look, there's like a full tong set. There's like tongs. There's like some kind of weird looking, not sharp corkscrew looking thing. One thing just looks like an icicle, and I'm pretty sure there's like one of those ladle things. Like, and they're all like frosted plastic. It's just so gross.
It's not scary at all. There's nothing scary about bright blue things.
No, it kind of reminds me of like sugar, like those like sugar bark kind of things. You know, like just like flavored lollipop things, but they come in sheets and you can just like break them off, and it kind of looks like glass, but you just like eat it like candy.
Yeah,
like that's all I could think about when I saw that. I was just that looks tasty.
Thing. Yeah, I thought like rock candy. It looks like he's got rock candy tools, and he's just like. Gotcha, Lindsay Lohan.
You have to wonder if this was born out of necessity, like when they were getting props, maybe they just didn't have enough money. They were like, what's the cheapest fake knife you can give us? And the guy at the prop house is like, well, I've got this blue plastic thing. And then they just go, oh, okay, let's work this into the movie. Let's make everything blue. And then
it probably snowballed from the dragon glass dagger hook thing. I don't know what the name of it would technically be, but it's like the weirdest looking murder tool of all time.
Oh,
much
man.
More
this would be like
complex than the other ones. What were you saying?
This would be like an interesting transition to like talk about like the influence that they were going for with this film, because I was reading that apparently this guy, what's his name? Silverstone? The director was influenced by David Lynch and Hitchcock and De Palma. And I remember when I was first watching it, I was like, yeah, I could kind of see like the Hitchcock vibe here, like the whole like green means jealousy and like vertigo. But basically what it reminds me of really is like when I discovered three-way color correction on Final Cut. I don't know if you guys remember when you discovered that in like grade 11. I just went to town with it on every editing project. Like, oh, my friend's wearing a red sweater, I'm gonna isolate the hell out of that color. And like eventually you just get like a high and you're like, I'm Steven fucking Spielberg with the red coat and Schindler's List. And like I feel like that's what happened with this guy. Like he clearly wanted a touch of class, like a la Hitchcock or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just hilariously over the top. Like it's assaulting.
It's so bad.
This movie is so MySpace profile picture when you know, you isolate everything except for your blue eyes and then stare right into the camera with your flip phone selfie.
Totally.
In the mirror, it's like a mirror pick. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. God. You're
and you
right.
put some graphics of like a Good Charlotte lyrics.
No, it plays you have the embed thing where it plays the Good Charlotte song when you go on their profile. Yeah. Ugh.
That's what this movie makes me feel like.
God. It's so true. It's so sadly true. This movie is the worst.
It's really like, bad.
It's up there with the worst thing I've ever seen. Like borderline The Room. Like it's not quite The Room, but it's close.
Yep. But The Room is like enjoyable because like, cause I feel like Tommy Wiseau, he's just like, I feel like he just means well, but like, I don't feel that way, but I know it killed me. Like, it's just like all around bad. And like the people involved are bad. The Room is like a little bit more endearing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true. That's
yeah. Like, we'll get into that with our ratings, our Bad Movie Book Club rating system.
Yeah.
Hunter, you have some tweets for us?
I do have some tweets. Let me pull them up real quick. There's been some good stuff this time around. I will say that. Yeah, I will say, okay, it's really hard, apparently, to find tweets about this because there's a Lindsay Lohan fan club account, and there's hundreds of tweets from the fan club that's literally just a copy-paste, like they do it every other hour. And, man, it is just disgusting. You can't. It just
are
makes
they like
Twitter
positive?
So difficult. It's just advertising the movie and a link to like rent it somewhere.
Oh, gotcha.
So bad. Okay, I've got some tweets. You ready for these tweets?
So ready.
It's from @AndySamuelson or @Andy_Samuelson. Bad Movie Marathon, number 2, I Know Who Killed Me, spoiler, Evil Piano Teacher versus One-Legged Lindsay Lohan Twins, # Movie Marathon. It's the best one-liner, like, logline of this whole movie I've ever heard.
Evil Piano Teacher versus
One-Legged Lindsay Lohan Twins. Like, that should have been the logline that they used to pitch the movie.
I really want to know what's in the rest of his marathon, because I don't know how much more I could handle.
That's a
like
good point.
With this movie, it would have to be something more fun.
Oh man, this guy's T.Boogs @Dope It's Toya. Lindsay Lohan worked TF out of that poll on I Know Who Killed Me with an emoji face of hearts and smiling.
Oh. I mean, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
No, I mean, like, that was very sultry, the Lindsay Lohan strip.
There's nothing more sultry than a sweaty Lindsay Lohan on a pole. Am I right?
Yeah,
all the super red lights everywhere.
Yep.
You know who else is a fan? This guy, Justin Bieber. It's a fan of Justin Bieber, but he wants everyone to think he's Justin Bieber. It's @Abels Biebers. I Know Who Killed Me is so disgusting at some scenes, but Lindsay Lohan is such a goddess. I love her. All caps, no punctuation of any kind.
Okay.
All right.
Just God, what's wrong with you? What you needed like some kind of intervention to this. Okay, next. Lindsay Lohan_HQ. Lindsay Lohan submits her film I Know Who Killed Me as her cover letter at a local strip club. Quote, as you can see, I'm highly experienced, end quote.
That, I can see that.
Oh man. I really like that one. Okay, here's a pretty good one. @FrankTheFox. During an interview, Lindsay Lohan once compared I Know Who Killed Me to Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, it's laughable. It's laughable.
I could compare them.
I just think she was comparing them in like a similarity kind of way.
Like we could compare running times, you know. They both are feature length films.
Yeah, this one is a quote from @Irma_graduate11. Maybe that's why ghosts are restless, because there's nothing left of what they were except for the pain. I Know Who Killed Me.
Is that a quote from the movie?
That's a quote from the movie. Direct quote from the movie.
Missed that one.
There's nothing left of what they were except for the pain. Like, yeah, that's how I felt after this movie. Only pain. Only the pain that I've endured while watching this movie. It's emotional. Yeah. It's physical. Ugh, I would almost rather be strapped down to a chair and had my hand amputated than watch this movie again. Oh, here's a good one.
I mean,
what are you trying to say, Anna? What would you rather do, watch this movie again? Or be, you know, made a cripple the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, you can get a fully functional robot leg pretty easily, though.
That's true. That's right. True. You do have to remember to recharge them, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Which we're reminded of many times.
Oh, this one's by at little.
In real life, there's no way that's going to happen unless you tweet at Robert Downey Jr. a lot and he decides to give you one. That's the only way that's going to happen.
Or
that does happen.
Or at George Lucas.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the most realistic robot hand, really. Our boy Luke.
Oh, okay, here's a good quote, or a good tweet. This is by at LilPoundCank1. It's the greatest name of any Twitter I've ever heard. Why at Lindsay Lohan didn't win an Oscar for hashtag I know who killed me is beyond me. It got 2 retweets and 6 favorites. One of the responses to it was, that's because at the end of the movie, at Lindsay Lohan was still the only one who knew. But then Lil Poundcake comes back and he says, at Disco Punk, at Lindsay Lohan, no Golden Globes, no nothing. Like, seriously, what?
Does he know she won a Razzie?
She won 2.
She won one for each character?
I'm pretty sure she won one for each character. They gave both of them awards. Yeah, they're
wins.
That's
brilliant.
It's
beautiful. Great.
It is just, that's the level of despair that this movie is and that it causes just in your heart. You just feel like your heart gets put up against a thing of dry ice and there's nothing left. It's just a husk. It's just, that's your soul after watching this movie.
Hashtag yeah. What?
Also, I feel my eyes are like perma-blue now. Like, I feel like I'm getting drawn to blue objects in my room.
You're turning into a white walker.
It might just be like a permanent side effect of this film, just isolating all the blue in your life.
Yeah, because like only winners get the blue.
I'm wearing a Canadian tuxedo to work tomorrow.
Is that a flannel?
No, it's denim on denim. Denim jeans, denim jacket.
Is it? Is that what a Canadian tuxedo is?
It's what I
always thought
it
was flannel.
I don't think it's flannel. Oh.
Made popular by the greatest Canadian to ever live.
Paul Bunyan.
I was going to say Logan.
Oh, Logan. The Wolverine? No.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Paul Bunyan, lumberjack of the century, was
greatest,
the reason.
The greatest living Canadian.
Who's Paul Bunyan?
I think Paul Bunyan was American. I think we claim him.
Should I know who Paul Bunyan is? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Obviously he's American.
No.
Am I bad Canadian? No, I'm
you
not
might
bad
be.
He had a
you
blue.
Be.
He had a giant blue ox and he ate an enormous amount of pancakes.
Oh, here's another good tweet I just found. You ready for this? This
yeah,
is The Notorious Eve, which is at Lovely Lizzy. I'm dead, and creative writing as a concept is my killer. Hashtag I know who killed me.
That's pretty good.
That's true. That's the movie.
Yeah.
I love how there's just, you know, when she comes back to life, everyone's just like, oh, she just adopted this alter ego that she wrote about. Like I could have seen this movie playing out where everybody just believed that and they threw in an institution and the rest of the movie never happened.
Oh, that's true. Oh.
And the dad never told anyone the truth that he bought a crack baby.
Well, there was did you guys read about the alternate ending of I Know Who Killed Me?
No. Tell us more, please.
Oh, the alternate ending of I Know Who Killed Me is that the entire film was actually just a screenplay of like some random chick also played by Lindsay Lohan and that she had like made up this whole thing and it was her screenplay. And the plot twist is that at the end scene, she's wearing a purple shirt because it's the combination of like blue Lindsay and red Lindsay. And there was like some other big color symbolism. And apparently
that would have made this movie like a able pill to swallow. Like,
yeah, like, apparently audiences didn't like that it was so predictable. But, like, I don't know. Damn. I think I would have appreciated that twist ending. I
think I would have, too. It's like next level Inception.
Added a new dimension of symbolism with the purple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Could not agree with you more. We need more color symbolism.
Oh, do you? I found another tweet related to your color symbolism. It's at Crumple Lucinda. And she says, added blue rose bead rings to my Etsy shop. Only $2.30. Inspired by hashtag I Know Who Killed Me and Twin Peaks. And yes, you can actually buy I Know Who Killed Me inspired jewelry on the internet.
Hey,
it is a thing.
Let's let's take a moment to talk to those guys out there. If you have a special lady that you're hoping to get the attention of, blue roses are the way to go, because if you do give her blue roses, she'll disappear and then come back horribly tortured and cut up and with a different identity, but then
you'll get laid all
she'll
the time.
Definitely sweet with she'll definitely sleep with you
all the time.
And why does the mom just stand there and let it happen? Like, everybody is so convinced that she's mentally ill, but they're just, like, letting her live her life, too. Like,
it was the greatest, the cut back and forth between the sex scene and the mom downstairs just, like, losing it while she's washing dishes was the greatest scene. Like, other than,
like,
the gardener
scene. If you're convinced this is your innocent daughter and she's, like, going through split personality disorder, maybe, and she's also, I'm assuming, a minor. I'm assuming she's not 18 yet. Like, step in and say, no, this is not okay. Man. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and like, another point, Brian, the guy, disappears for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
He's just pointless.
Her boyfriend?
Yeah, Brian.
Okay.
I love the plot they come up with to smuggle her out of the house.
Oh, you have a condom?
Where he goes and asks all the FBI agents for condoms, and then, like, smuggles her out of the house, and they're just like, where's that kid going? And they're like, oh, give him a break. He needs a condom to sleep with this mentally ill girl that we're supposed to be guarding.
Oh, man. That's true. That's,
Yeah, all the agents in this movie are horrible. Like, just terrible people.
You know who else is a terrible person? This Twitter person. It's, luckily she doesn't show her real name. @CMVega. You know when you like a YouTube video and it might, like, tweet it by accident that you liked a YouTube video? Like, YouTube and Twitter are synced up somehow. Well, this girl just made a terrible mistake, and I'm about to tell you why. It says, I liked a YouTube video, and a YouTube link, and then the title of the video is Lindsay Lohan Love Scene and I Know Who Killed Me. Why do you want people to know that you just liked that?
That's great.
I'm sorry, your secret's out, @CMVega.
Oh, no.
But now everyone knows your dirty laundry. Oh.
My friend did something similar to me once when my Netflix account and my Facebook were linked, and she had access to my Netflix account, and she went through and rated all of Tyler Perry's movies 10 out of 10 on Netflix for me, and it all showed up on my Facebook. Yeah, we don't talk anymore.
That's amazing.
Yep. It's pretty deceitful.
Oh, man. Like, Madea Goes to Jail, like all those Madea movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She went to town on, like, every bad movie. And, you know, as a semi, like, you know, I don't know, cinephile, I was, like, mortified. So I understand what CMVega feels. I understand what it's like. She could have just been backstabbed like me. I'm more open to these kinds of things. Yeah.
It's called not protecting your tweets. Another victim to CineNation show.
I hope you. I hope you tweet at her after this.
All right. Well, on her great Twitter note, let's segue into our rating system, which I'm just gonna go ahead and guess. I don't want to speak for you guys, but I'm gonna guess that we're unanimous in this one. So for everyone who listens to Bad Movie Book Club, we have three ratings we can give a movie here. We can do guilty pleasure, so bad it's good, or just plain bad. So let's go around the circle and just voice your opinions.
I'll go first.
On I Know Who Killed Me.
I'll lead us off. All right, guys. I pretty much firmly gonna... Hey, you know what? Not even... It's a valid Lindsay Lohan performance. It's almost so bad that it's good, just for a couple scenes alone. Just for, like, the gardener scene and the sex with the boyfriend and the mom freaking out downstairs while she washes dishes scene. Like, those two movies almost make it so bad it's good. But you have to endure so much extra crap and blue things that I'm going to say this is just a bad movie. Out and out, bad movie. The lowest of the low. Good riddance. I can't believe I paid $2.99 to watch this. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. I'm going to invoice both of you for it.
I didn't even know you could pay for movies on YouTube, so I don't know why you would even do that, but, you know, to each their own.
Bottom of the barrel. That's my vote.
For me, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of on the fence about this one because it is terrible. So it, in one sense, it is just bad. But I don't know. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it, it because of its terribleness. And I think I laughed quite a lot while watching it, mostly because of the blue symbolism. And also the weird skinhead on the bus saying sometimes people get cut, telling her to lift her bloody stump above her heart, not asking, you know, is your finger okay? It looks like it's been amputated. He says, no, just like lift it above your heart. It'll be fine. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of want to say so bad it's good. Yeah. Because I kind of slightly enjoy it. I know, but it's like we're having so much fun making fun of it. Like, there's got to be some sort of like good, you know, so bad it's good merit there. Like, that's got to count for something.
I have to say I'm having a lot of fun talking with you guys about it, but I had no fun watching it, and so for that reason, I have to say so just plain bad. With a movie that I watched that I think is so bad it's good. I don't know. I think we'll get to some of those movies in Bad Movie Book Club, but I think they I can't put my finger on what the exact distinction is, but I can feel it when I'm watching it. I have this total break from wanting it to be anything like a good movie, and I just accept it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And for some reason with this film, it was trying so hard to be like a serious horror film that I just could not find that break, and it's just made me mad. The blue stuff just made me so mad, and the ending.
Okay, if you take this is a good point. The blue stuff. If you take the blue stuff out 100% and just take that whole color enigma away, like what is it? Like, is it able to be watched? Like, is it not the worst thing in the world? If you take that annoying blue stuff away, do you think that might make you change your mind?
I mean, obviously, there's still some story problems because both of you and I both watched all the way through and just did not comprehend pieces of the story.
I could not connect to it at any point other than the hilarity of the gardener scene, honestly. We're going to boil down to something.
You're really into that gardener scene.
That's easily the greatest scene of any movie that I've seen in a long time.
And that scene just kind of like went for me.
It came and went, but it's like almost like Wet Hot American Summer comedy, and then it's over, and then you're just like,
I have to wonder if that move has ever worked for that guy. Like, you think a girl's ever been like, oh yeah, I like the way you handle that tree branch. Come on inside my house before my parents get home.
It was so amazing. His backstory, he looked like a rough guy. I mean, he just looked kind of rough around the edges, but man, that was the only part that I actually enjoyed, and it wasn't even a good part. It was terrible. This movie is just going to make me just sick to my stomach the rest of the week that I actually spent money on that. I'm going to see it every time I like check my bank statement. It's going to be right there, and I'm going to be like, oh God, I remember that time I watched that movie. Like, years from now, I'm going to see it on some kind of, like, TV guide scroll, and I'm just going to turn my TV off and be like, nope. Not even a chance. Ugh, it's that bad. It's that bad.
So let's give everybody a palate cleanser for this one, because I think they could really use it.
Oh, you know what mine is? If I had to pick my palate cleanser right now, I'm going to go back to my original palate cleanser I said earlier in the episode with Whiplash. If you love watching music teachers scared, terrorize their prodigy students, you're gonna love Whiplash, because A, no Lindsay Lohan, B, pretty good performances all the way around, C, no blue of any kind, I mostly remember black and reds, and you're gonna love Whiplash. If you hated this movie as much as I did, you want to watch something worthwhile, but if you love Whiplash already, you might really enjoy this movie with Lindsay Lohan. So yeah, that's my palate cleanser. Boom.
Sweet. Nice. I'm going to go with, since the director was supposedly influenced by some pretty good directors, choose one of their movies, and go with Brian De Palma's Body Double, which is an awesome kind of like neon noir kind of film, like LA Nights kind of deal. And the great thing about Body Double is it's, you know, Mistaken Identities, which is what I Know Who Killed Me is. But it's also heavily influenced by Hitchcock, which apparently I Know Who Killed Me was, though there's not a lot of evidence for any sort of, you know, good Hitchcock motif. But Body Double has it. Body Double has it in spades. So I really suggest Body Double. It's a fantastic movie. And De Palma, he's great. So I've never seen watch Body Double. It's amazing. Also recommend Phantom of the Paradise. I just saw it recently. It's another really good De Palma. So yeah.
I'll check it out. Thomas, yeah. What you got?
It's funny Anna should bring that up because I was going to say a Hitchcock movie. I'm going to throw out Shadow of a Doubt.
Oh.
I'm a huge Joseph Cotten fan, and it's Joseph Cotten is usually like super charismatic good guy, and we get him in a super charismatic bad guy role in this one. And you kind of have some of that in this one. It's not like the twin telepathy in this one. It's this weird niece uncle telepathy. It's a really interesting movie. Like a lot of Hitchcock films, a lot of his earlier stuff, it feels kind of light and fun on the top, but there's a lot of like really dark, sinister, incestuous, pedophilic themes going on underneath, which are really interesting to explore.
Sounds like it.
So yeah,
sounds like
and it's there's absolutely no blue in it at all because it's black and white. So if you need a palate cleanser from just all the neon blue of I Know Who Killed Me, you can just enjoy the black and whiteness of this movie.
Oh, man. That's a good one. That's a good one. That appropriately ties up how I felt about the blue. I need just straight black and white movies for a week. Like, that's...
When it would just go... When it would just, like, cross-dissolve into full blue between the scenes.
Like royal blue. Like Kansas City Royals. Like, just nasty blue.
I feel like
I'm going to see that color blue tomorrow at work and just be like, and just have a moment. I'm just going to freak out. Just have like a flashback. Ugh.
That's the Green Hornet Kill Bill song starts playing.
Oh, man.
Dum, dum, dum.
Oh, man. Just, ugh. Guys, yeah. I'm sorry that you had to listen to us bash this movie for an hour, but...
It's
better than watching the whole thing. So,
if you did watch it with us, it's probably cathartic to listen to all this. If you haven't watched it with us, you've learned a valuable lesson to avoid this film.
Or if you saw that the heading was I Know Who Killed Me and you were like, oh, this is my favorite movie, I have to listen to this, then you should go see a counselor because you have problems.
But not the counselor from I Know Who Killed Me because he's an idiot.
He works for the police.
That's such an asshole move when he just takes that picture of her face and just writes delusional on it. You remember that part?
Oh, it should have gone into like a Shutter Island kind of movie at that point. That's the only way this movie would have been redeemable for me. Or the ending that Anna said earlier. That would have been somewhat
semi-salvageable. You know,
yeah.
There are a lot of moments where this movie could have been salvageable, but I think you're right. It's like just a salt of blue that really ruins it. Because it's like kind of a cool premise, I guess. You know, like sharing feelings and I don't know, getting tortured. I don't know. It's kind of cool. Like, I don't know. It's like interesting.
I'd be kind of interested to see how Julia Ormond would handle like a closing scene where she simultaneously finds out that her husband's dead, but that she's gained two Lindsay Lohan daughters. That would be a really interesting scene to tackle as an actor.
And that's the direction we go in for the sequel. That's the sequel direction. That's 100% just Julia Ormond. Boom. Run with it. I would watch it at this point. I've already invested $2.99. Why not? Why not just go all the way?
The sequel would be I Know Who Killed Me 2, but it would be T-O-O, and then it would be from the perspective of good Aubrey as she's being tortured. And that would be because she also knows who killed her. So I Know Who Killed Me 2.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We could just do a role reversal, and Dakota quit stripping, and that weird strip club owner that has a she like kills her, or she kidnaps her and starts chopping off body parts to get back at her for because she could have been a champion pole dancer.
Oh, so many. See, we should do the sequel. That should be our thing. I
Yeah,
know.
new
Oh,
feature.
first frame. Yeah, I'm gonna be a Sundance hit. People are gonna be all over it. It's gonna be like Escape from Tomorrow all over again. People will be like, "Have you heard about this movie? Oh my gosh, you have to see it. There's only one showing. It's gonna be amazing." Oh,
So
people get
excited.
ready.
All
I'm gonna
right.
tweet about it.
We'll meet soon and start fleshing out the script. Somebody get Julia Roman and Lindsay Lohan on
You
the
know what? We
phone.
will be meeting soon for our next edition of
Yeah.
Bad Movie Book Club.
You want to
That's
announce
true.
that for us at the end of our episode?
Yeah, sure. I'll announce it. It's basically to get a better change from these terrible, terrible movies. Mostly just this last one that we just did because Roadhouse was amazing. We're gonna go back on track with Anaconda, the Jon Voight, Ice Cube, Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson amazingness. Or at least I think so. It's a classic movie, and we're gonna talk about it for an hour, and you're gonna love every second of it. Ugh, I can't wait. I cannot wait for Anaconda. Have you seen it, Thomas?
It's been a very long time.
And you've never seen it, Anna.
I've never seen it, no.
Oh,
I'm
you're gonna
excited.
love it.
I'm
You're
really
gonna love
excited,
it.
yeah.
It's so
Yep.
good. I'm excited. So yeah, that's what we got coming up next. We'll advertise it. You guys will get reminded of it again, surely, before it's here. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this, Thomas. I mean, did you guys have fun talking about
Yes.
how bad the movie was?
It was really
Oh yeah,
cathartic.
that's
It helped me get a lot of my feelings out.
Yeah, I felt like I was talking to a
totally.
therapist that worked for the police. Oh, God. Okay. Well,
Delusional.
I mean, all I have left to do is sing I'm blue, da ba dee da ba da da ba dee da ba da da ba dee da ba da 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 da